Good morning. Welcome to Witness Radio. My name is Rita Babide, and I welcome you to program Know Your Land and Environment. All right. For those that missed last week, we talked about, in our last episodes, we talked about gender and land rights in Uganda. If you missed those episodes, they are both in Luganda and English. If you missed those episodes, kindly go to our YouTube channel and you will see those podcasts are already there. I'm going to take you back our last episode, things that we discussed about. So when we discussed about gender and land rights in Uganda, and especially we were looking at women, we looked at the percentage of women in Uganda that have land registered in their names, and that was 16%. We also looked at the legal framework. We looked at the 1995 constitution. What does it say about land? And it says land is for all citizens in Uganda, regardless of your gender, whether male or female. So we also looked at the National Land Policy. We looked at the Succession Act, where it allows widowers also to inherit their husband's property or land. We also looked at the Domestic Violence Act. We talked about so much, and we looked at the challenges in implementing gender and land rights in Uganda. So briefly, that's what we talked about. But today we are jumping on to something very new, and that is succession, inheritance, and land rights. So I'd like to introduce to you our guest, lawyer by profession, a very intelligent and brilliant lady here. Definitely, she has been journeying with us and she's still journeying with us. I'll let her introduce herself to you. You're welcome.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Like we just said, I'm Joan Dimadi. I'm so delighted to be here. And I thank WR for the opportunity that it has given us to be able to share knowledge with every other person. And we try to advocate for the learning environmental rights of people out there. Please stay tuned in. Do not get tired. Thank you.
Definitely get tuned in right away. Go to your Play Store, download Witness Radio app, and then you'll be definitely listening to us. For now, we are going in for a short commercial break. We shall be back. Welcome back from that short commercial break. We are proudly sponsored by Witness Radio, and as I've told you, we are going to handle something, a very interesting topic too, succession, inheritance, and land rights. Without wasting any more time, I'd like to welcome our counsel.
Thank you, Rita. Like she said today, I'm very certain she took you through the recap of what we discussed in our previous episodes. So today we decided to, because we have gone into the topic of gender and land rights. We discussed about the rights that women have towards land, the challenges they're facing as women, of which one of them is the discrimination because of the norms, the cultural norms that have existed. But the laws have been amended one way or another to see that they favor the ladies so that they can own land, they can inherit land, which used not happen, which is a good cause for us. So today we are still focusing on succession. We're not looking at it only in the perspective of women or men. We are just looking at succession as succession, how it applies to both men and women.
Yes.
So for starters, for you to know what we are discussing about, we'll start by defining what.
In Uganda, land is a valuable resource that is necessary for everyone to survive and flourish. So it is equally crucial to comprehend the land laws and policies about its appropriate usage. To learn more, tune in to Witness Radio. Listen to Witness Radio to learn more about environmental laws and policies and how you can protect the environment. Witness Radio, where your voice is a weapon. Justice for all. That's our guarantee. Tune in today. Witness Radio, shining the light.
Succession is, and succession refers to the process of inheriting property and varies according to whether the deceased person left a valid will or not. In legal, it's what we call, when you talk about will, we talk about you leave attested what? Estates, like you left a will, and then for those who don't leave a will, you call it intestate. So the discussion below centers on the discussion of land-related property, how to write a will, and how to apply for a probate or letters of administration. So basically today we are going to focus on when there is a will, how to write it, and how to get letters of probate. We shall not focus so much on letters of administration because that basically works on intestate. So for those who do not live well, today we are focusing so much on someone, a deceased that left her will behind.
Okay.
And how that will can be implemented.
Mm.
So the law on succession is broad and focuses on the management of the property of deceased persons. For titled land, there are two ways to deal with a deceased person's property depending on whether the person had a will or not. We are going to focus so much on the testate succession, or where a person left will. And testate succession is where a deceased person leaves a valid will describing how they want their property to be distributed. A person who makes a will is called a testator. The person who died is called a testator, who left a will before his death. So by the time he passes on, he's called a testator. So a will is a document made by the testator while still alive, declaring all his or her property and instructions on how he or she wants it distributed among his death and by whom. So he decides on how he wants his property, who he wants his property to be given to, who should be in charge of his property, and who is to distribute his property to who, and which percentage each person is meant to get according to the way he has distributed, or who is supposed to get what. My wife get the house, my children, you have Joan has land here, Evita has land there, Tony has land here, maybe this one, Sarah is in charge of my business, things like that. So he decides how this property is distributed. A will can be written or oral, but in most cases it's proper for someone to have a written will, because an oral will, usually there are many conflicts that arise out of it. People will be like, how can we prove it unless it is recorded in the voice of the deceased. And to make matters worse, these days we have AI. So you might have a recorded one and everyone is like, you see, you went, that is not his voice, something is missing, it is AI. That is if you have family members who actually want to steal your property. Even those ones that have wills are contested, the ones that have that are written, we understand if the family is really determined to take over, it can also disagree with the will. But when it comes to an audio, I have a feeling an audio is also okay.
It is okay. Yeah. You remember that that barrier I was telling you about? Yes.
Yeah.
Where somebody leaves both audio and
written.
Written, yes.
Some of them even leave videos because, it is easy for me to tell that is written.
Yes.
And then if they just get your body, your head, and I put it on someone, I'm like, that was not her neck. But these days, people have art. Ideas.
There is Photoshop.
Beyond. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really look at someone, look like the other person, regardless. I don't know what's happening, but this generation, we are gone. So, but you could tell. Remember when they actually, this time they tried to post something about the king. You remember? And the people were like, no, he's not the one. Sometimes it's even when some people do the sex steps, those ones, and then they put someone's head, someone's able to tell, no, but that's not the person.
Yes.
For those that know you
well. Yeah, yes.
And then others are like, yeah, actually, she's the one or he's the one. So, yeah. So it can be done in many. People do videos while talking, people do audios, people write. Some people just sit down with their friends and say, when I die, this is what I want. This one will be my heir. So it doesn't have a format, but always a will that is written is valid, especially with a signature of the deceased person. So a written will is a document written by a testator, indicating how his or her property can be distributed upon death. So that is a will. So we also have a privilege will, and this one may be made in writing or by word of mouth by any member of the armed forces being employed in an expedition or engage in actual warfare or any mariner being at sea, if he or she has completed the age of 18 years, and this is governed under Section 63 of the Succession Act of 162. So please check it out, and then you'll see what it says. So the execution of a privileged will is governed by the following provisions in Section 54 of the Succession Act. There's an instance where probably army people have gone to war. And then when you go to war, you're about to die. Probably you're on the front line, or you've been shot, or you get. So maybe they try to treat you from there, but you see yourself not surviving it. So some make wills at that particular moment. During the time when they feel like, you're treating me, but I don't think I have.
I'm going to make it.
So they make wills, and those are the privileged wills we have. Or some people, like, we call them captains at the sea. You get?
Yes.
Yeah, at the sea. So sometimes probably there is danger happening, or the ship tends to capsize and what.
You
can probably make an oral will or written will in one or another. So those are the ones we call privileged wills.
Okay.
They are specifically for army and people that are in warfare, people that are on the sea, things like that. Not every person makes
a privileged will.
Every other person makes these normal wills. You attestate a normal will.
So when they are going to make this will, who makes this will?
The privileged ones?
Yeah.
They make it. Like, let me say, me and you are in the army. You're my friend. I can literally tell you, call you and say, Rita, I don't think I'm going to make it. Get a paper, I write, stamp, give it to you. Please take this to my family. You get.
And then, so they make it when they are already there?
When they are already there.
Okay.
Yes. And then sometimes they can also give it to the commander. You get, to make sure that the soldier or the army man's wishes are fulfilled. You get?
Yeah.
And usually, you know, because of the kind of work they do protecting the nation and what, it is something important for you to actually fulfill at least his last wish. The fact that he died fighting for the
country.
We also look at, we're going to be looking at the legal frameworks governing tested succession in Uganda, or governing people who have written wills. So we shall begin with the Succession Act, CAP 162, which is the primary law governing inheritance in Uganda. It provides the legal framework for making a valid will, appointing executors, and distributing the estate. Executor, this is a person who actually makes sure that the will is implemented the way the deceased wanted it to be implemented. So Section 36 of the Act affirms that a person can dispose of their property through a will. Then you look at Section 50 of the Succession Act, which outlines the requirements for a valid will, including that it must be in writing, signed by that testator, and witnessed by at least two competent witnesses. We also looked at Section 53 that allows for the revocation of a will through a new will, or destruction, or by marriage, unless the will was made with that marriage in mind. So when we talk about revocation of a will through a new will, we talk about the person, deceased before his death, made a will, and then over certain circumstances decided to change the will, made amendments. So automatically that cancels the first will and makes this one the new will now that they have to go with. So when we talk about destruction, or it may be by marriage, unless the will by marriage, unless the will was made with that marriage in mind. What we mean by that is, actually, if a person writes a will and later gets married, the will is generally considered revoked unless it explicitly states that it was made in anticipation of their marriage. So there are also exceptions for wills made in contemplation of marriages, where someone makes a will they specifically mentioned that it was made in contemplation of marriage to a particular person. So if my husband made a will before marrying me but said I'm going to get married to a woman called Joanne, so that means the will is valid.
Mm.
Yes, but if he made a will having a name Rita and then he's married to Joanne, then that creates issues.
So what you're trying to say is that person can make a will before they get married.
Yeah.
After they get married,
yeah,
that will can be changed.
Yeah, it can.
So this particular statement is saying if the person wrote that will
knowing
that they will later get married,
yeah,
meaning they included that person in the will.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. But then still, like what else, even when it's not like anticipation, let's say someone is married to someone else, and then they divorce, but he made a will with that woman before they divorced. You get?
Yes.
And then he probably, it can even happen, he makes a will without knowing and then he dies before changing it. And the will has Rita, but yet he's married to Joanne. Automatically that one will create question marks because Rita will not come and inherit things for a man he divorced. So automatically that puts me there as the woman that has to inherit, the wife, the current wife that has to inherit is what? His property.
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
I hope our listeners also get it. While we are going in for a short break, we shall be back. Welcome back from that short commercial break. We are proudly sponsored by Witness Radio. For those that are going through challenges, that are having land and environmental issues, you can call Witness Radio. Let us be your 911 call when it comes to matters of land. You can call us on 041-4696-7221. That is for direct calls. You can also call us on 0745-965765. That is our WhatsApp number. You can send a text, an audio, anything that you feel like. Well, we also have a YouTube channel that you can get these podcasts. These podcasts are always broadcasted, each episode, right from where we started from until that. All those podcasts are still there. I would like to welcome Council once again. Council, you're welcome.
Thank you, Rita. Welcome back from that short break. Work Without Play also makes us a dull class. So.
Definitely, definitely. We are waiting for Easter.
Yeah. Oh my God, I don't know about Easter.
Yeah, it's around the corner.
Like, I was so much praying for Edie to be on a Monday. So when it was on a Sunday, I lost morale. I actually lost morale for everything. I was like, oh my God, like, I almost want to take it like a normal day because my heart was broken.
Memes were running here and there. And you're like, people are like, we bring a 4 days holiday and you cannot even
just
bring
one day. Just one day.
But it wasn't up to them. It wasn't up to them.
No, they should have at least thought. We cried a lot. I mean, people were all on TikTok. Please, guys, make it Monday. It was just a small request. Just a small favor.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Yeah. But we thank you guys for fasting and we pray Allah answers all your prayers. And I just hope you had a blast yesterday by the mere fact that you've spent days without eating something.
Yeah.
That really counts a lot for the spirit, that spiritual.
Your spiritual.
Yeah. So the next thing we shall be talking about, the Administrator General's Act, CAP 157. And this one plays a role in overseeing estate administration, ensuring that wills are executed according.
Oina mauli agakwata kuchibataka. Oba waliwo gwomanyi ngagobeddwa kuttaka. Oba ngebintu byonooneddwa olw'enkaayana z'ettaka. Oba ekibanja. Tegeeza Witness Radio ng'oyita ku ssimu zaffe namba noti nyemu nya 69722221 oba ya WhatsApp noti 75 9 65 75. Nandi ki ensonga ziroope butereevu ku kibanja kyaffe ekya Witness Radio ku www.witnessradio.org.
org. Laba ku mapu eraga abantu n'ettaka eritwaliddwa. Olwojja kulaba ekigambo report eviction awoloopa. Bw'oba ogobeddwa ku ttaka, bw'omala noonya ekitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mapu eno, onyige ku kitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mapu, kireete akatonyeza akalangi emyufu, olwo okanyigeko. Jjuza ffoomu eyo, onyige save okutereka by'ojjuza. Teekamu ekifaananyi eky'ekitundu ky'ettaka eribbiddwa. Nyiga upload ng'osindikirako ekifaananyi.
Do you want to learn more about the legal nitty-gritty of land laws? Benefit from our programs at Witness Radio. We will teach you how you can protect your land from land grabbers. Are you a human rights activist? Do you want the voice of the voiceless to reach the authority responsible? Tune in to the People's Radio, Witness Radio. Listen to Witness Radio addressing land issues in your community on matters of land development that do not affect the people and the environment.
According to the laws, particularly when disputes arise. We also looked at the Registration of Titles Act, Cap 230. And this one says if the deceased owned registered land, the transfer of property to beneficiaries must comply with this act, ensuring proper documentation and land title transfers. So with this one, they're talking about you have to make sure that, let me say, if your dad gave you land somewhere, you must transfer from your father's name to your names so that you get to, you show people that now I am in possession, yes, of this land.
And you become the registered owner of the land.
Exactly.
Okay.
So please, I just remind you, we are looking at the legal frameworks governing tested succession in Uganda. So all these we are talking about are laws governing succession in Uganda for a deceased that left a will. So we also looked at the Land Act Cap 227, which governs the inheritance of land, including rights of customary land owners and spouses to inheritance, ensuring lawful transmission of land under a will. So under this, so basically those are the laws that are actually governing succession of an attested estate. Like where the deceased left a will. We have looked at the Succession Act, we looked at the Administrator General's Act, we looked at the Registration of Titles Act, we looked at the Land Act. So here we are looking at which key aspects are we supposed to focus on when you talk about tested succession in Uganda. The first thing we have to look at is writing a valid will. A will must be written, it must be signed by the testator is the deceased person, and witnessed by two competent witnesses who are not beneficiaries. So you can get your friends, you can get lawyers, whoever you feel comfortable with to come and witness that, you know, I am Joan making a will, please give my property to this one.
Mm.
And then they sign, the person must be of sound mind, please don't bring a drunkard. The person must be 18 and above, please do not bring a child. You get?
Yeah.
Because people don't believe in a kid. So it kind of falls under what we call, what amounts to a valid contract.
Mm-hmm.
You get? So, at a certain point also, that is involved when writing a will.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, these key aspects, they are like formalities required for a will to be valid under statutory law.
Or something we can call, when we call about key aspects, is something we can call, like, what are the important things
that
when it comes to when someone has written a will, when you say tested succession, we're talking about when someone dies and they leave a will behind. What is important? What is the focus on?
Okay. Right.
So the first thing is a will, and we say it should be written. But people make it oral. You can make it oral. People do videos. People do audios.
Yeah.
Have witnesses to that effect, sign the will if it's written, then appointing of an executor. The testator appoints an executor responsible for managing and disputing the estate according to the will. If no executor is named, the court may appoint an administrator. But usually it is very important for an attestator to actually appoint an executor, because these administrator things usually work for intestate what? Succession, where the person doesn't leave a will. So an executor is a person legally appointed by a testator. The person making that's the person making a will to administer the testator's estate after death. The executor.
So this person helps the deceased to write.
No, it's not necessary that he helps the deceased to write.
Okay. He's there to listen.
He's like let me say, if I die, and I trust my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother can be an executor.
Okay, that's what I mean.
So my mother is not a beneficiary.
Yes.
But she's an executor. Your lawyer can be an executor.
Yes.
To make sure that whatever is in the will is implemented the way you want it to be. So usually the executor is someone actually the deceased trusts and knows that if I leave this with this person, my will be actually executed the way I want it to be.
So this person is monitors whether the deceased will is going the right way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. An executor is a person legally appointed by a testator to administer the testator's estate after death. The executor is responsible for ensuring that the deceased's debts are paid and the assets are distributed according to the terms of the will. So distribution of property, the testator has the freedom to distribute their estate as they wish. But the will should not unfairly disinherit dependents who rely on the deceased for survival. So Section 38 of the Succession Act provides for dependents, including spouses. These dependents include spouses, children, close relatives, to ensure they are not left destitute, like hopeless.
Okay, so are children born out of wedlock also counted in this will?
Yes, they are dependents on the father or the mother.
Okay,
regardless of the fact that they are illegitimate
children,
they must benefit from their father's property or mother's property, because it does not take away the fact that they are their parents. So when we talk about a testator or a deceased having a right to dispute their property the way they want it, and then here the law comes and says, if the deceased has passed on and he has left out people that have depended on him to be on the will can actually be revoked.
Okay.
You get? I understand. Me too, it kind of beat my understanding, and I'm like, dang, this is my property. I worked for it. So if I have been having a lot of children that depend on me, I could be having a reason as to why I haven't included them in my will, right? But the law says, no, my dear, you must actually cater for the kids. And if they are not in the will, the law can actually make sure the will is revoked and they are put back so that they can get some assistance from your wealth or your estate. So
where does the law get the power and authority to do that?
My dear, I also had to think here and there, and I'm like, why would they do such a thing? But the law is very clear. It says we looked at still the Succession Act, where they say under Uganda law, a testator has the right to distribute their property as they wish. However, the right is not absolute. Certain dependents have a legal right to claim a portion of the estate if they are unfairly disinherited. Then we looked at the Succession Act Cap 162 that says, that provides protection for dependents to prevent them from being left without financial support. And then we went on to say, who are recognized dependents under Ugandan law? Who are these recognized dependents that actually give the court authority to revoke a will of a deceased person? You get?
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted to know who is this dependent that actually makes court not allow the deceased's wishes to be fulfilled.
To be granted, yes.
Mm. So, according to Section 2 of the Succession Act, it says dependents include a surviving spouse, that is husband or wife, children, biological, legal, or legally adopted, parents, if they were dependent on the deceased, any other person who was wholly or substantially dependent on the deceased, e.g. an elderly relative under the deceased's care. Okay, some people have a tendency of actually, they can adopt kids, and then when they give birth, they want to drop the kids. I think to some extent I also support them in one or another. One thing that I'm very certain about, also I think the reason as to why they say it is men have a tendency of marrying. They marry one wife and another one, like two women or three. And then probably one of the wives is neglected in one or another, and yet the wife is still actually married to that guy, but they have a tendency of neglecting and they distance themselves from that woman. I don't know. Over certain circumstances, like some people say, witchcraft, whatever may happen.
Yes.
Or maybe these other wives are not allowing him to go there, what. Or probably the woman decides to get pistols and say, okay, I can stay in this marriage. But a lot of things happen to distance people, two married people, from actually being so close to each other. The man may take time to actually check on the lady. Things happen, and then they neglect their wives. Because of the other wives they've gotten. So I think in that instance, when I looked at it, I was like, actually, sometimes I think courts looks at such. You get?
Yeah.
I am the first wife. My husband neglected me because of the second wife. And yet I have three children that I have to take care of.
Yes.
You get? And then I'm exempted from the will. You get? So in such instances, court has to do everything possible to make sure that this widow, because you're also a widow, this widow also gets some financial support from the estate. Because, I mean, what do you expect her to do? These children are for the deceased man. And then they have this tendency of also, the men keep saying, but it's not my child. Da, da, da. And then when he dies, DNAs are being made.
Yeah, now and then.
Or they are done. So when they do the DNAs, these kids actually belong to the deceased man. So automatically, they are forced to benefit from the father's wealth. I'm just trying to give examples of where court has nothing to do but to look into the matter and say, this was not fair. Because men do these things. Even women do them.
Yeah, even women. And we are only looking at when a man is dead. But women can also die.
Yeah.
And they also have property.
And men have a tendency, if a woman dies, and a woman came with children, you get? And then because it usually happens this way. A man comes into a woman's house. You find a woman, because I've seen such cases, comes into a woman's house. More of like they are marrying him, but he's a man.
Yeah.
You come into a woman's house, find the house well established, and then you find children there. You marry this lady. You give birth to other children. And then the woman dies and you don't want her kids to actually enjoy or benefit from the mother's inheritance. It happens. I've seen women complaining about it. Like, many say it. Like, you know, you don't know this, like, I have a sister who did this, but the husband doesn't want the kids of his wife to actually benefit. So it happened. So I think they look into this case and like, no, this is not really fair. So we have to just revoke the will. And we're also looking at it in a way of it can be forged. And then they just remove the adopted children or the children they found there out of the will. So still court looks into this and says, I don't think this guy must have not. He's not, he should have been sober not to exempt his children from his inheritance.
So, but the legitimate child weren't included here.
As long as they belong to the father, they are children.
Okay.
When you talk about illegitimate, does not take away the fact that they are biological.
Oh, yes.
They are just out of marriage, wedlock, or for a side chick. But it doesn't take away the fact that they are biological children to the woman or the man. So they are still what? Children.
Okay.
I went ahead to look at challenging an unfair will. What do you do when you're challenging an unfair will? So people say application for maintenance or inheritance rights. You apply for maintenance or inheritance rights. So apply to court for reasonable provisions. There we looked at Section 38 of the Succession Act, which allows dependents to apply to the High Court of Uganda, seeking financial provision from the estate. Then the court will consider this after the application. How big is the estate? The relationship between the dependent and the deceased? Whether the dependent was financially reliant on the deceased? How do they determine? Of course, people will be there to say, that old elderly woman has been with that guy for 5 years and she has been staying there, and probably the guy has been taking her to the hospital every day or every month for checkups, and the doctors are there to attest to that. Actually, yes, that the man has been bringing this woman routinely for medication.
Yes.
We were saying whether the dependent was financially reliant on the deceased. Where I was telling you that they can investigate and find out how long this elderly person has been with this person, or how long this person has been staying at this person's place, or probably this person has been moving with this person.
Yeah, literally, they need evidence to show and prove
exactly
that actually this person has been financially supporting
this
you.
This is a mother. That one is the deceased's mother or father. And she has been suffering from this and, been talking to the woman or the man to the hospital and blah, blah.
Okay.
So, contest the validity of the will. The will fails to make reasonable provisions for legal dependents, making it unfair or just. So, they can also seek a redistribution of the estate. They talk about in the intestate succession will rules apply. So if a will is declared invalid, the estate may be distributed according to Uganda's intestate succession laws, which provide a fixed percentage of inheritance for dependents. That is if they find the will was unfair and they cancel it, or they declare it invalid. Now they have to go with the percentages that are given under intestate succession. So we shall be discussing about the percentages of inheritance for dependents when we go in our next episode, when we are discussing about intestate succession. So basically, that is how it is, like, just in case that dependents are not in the will. For there are many reasons as to why, like, I have been giving you reasons, you know. They may be left out.
Yeah, but I also think if the law thinks this will is unfair, this deceased person has reasons as to why they didn't include that person into their will.
Yes.
Probably they've done something wrong to them. And they didn't want them to be beneficiaries when they are gone.
I understand.
So it's also something that should be looked into.
I just have a feeling that actually, when court says it's an invalid will, it does investigations beyond reasonable doubt. That, for crying out loud, if the deceased made this will, this person was actually supposed to be there. Something must have been wrong. You get. But I can assure you that sometimes people are left out because of certain reasons. Like you said.
Yes.
I may not be happy with the person, and I leave you out. Adopted children, I may have adopted you before I've given birth. Because some people do it, I don't even know. because I don't know why you have to now shift the love, and you feel like this is not a kid because God has blessed you with a kid. I feel it's not fair. But some people feel like, oh, now I have my biological children, you're not telling me anything. And then actually, out of free will, they'll be like, but those are not my kids, where would they benefit from my estate, from my wealth? Which is really unfair. It's really unfair. So when they look into that, oh, probably the mother may be like, okay, let's say another thing may happen. I marry a man and then I can't give birth. And then we adopt. And then he gets married to another woman and I die, and the woman gives birth. And then this woman will keep on, can I call it instigating, telling this guy, those are not your children. Come on, they can't benefit from your wealth. And then that sinks deep inside the man's what? He'll be like, that's not your blood.
There are those women.
Yeah.
But regardless, I literally think the deceased will should be granted.
Yeah, that's what I also think. But but to some extent, a lot of things happen, Arita. I want to agree with you, but I'm telling you, a lot of bad things have happened. If there's a chance for someone to actually contest and say no, Papa would not have done this unless someone forced him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would go and challenge it.
Yes. 0745965765. That is our WhatsApp number. You can definitely send in a text, and then we keep the conversation flowing. You can catch us on YouTube when you go on Twitter at Witness Radio. We have a web page that gives you daily news or updates about land matters in Uganda. This program runs from Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday at 10 a.m. and repeat is at 5 p.m. Well, I would like to thank you for listening to Witness Radio. Until next time, have a blessed day.